I, Jesus, a resident of Nazareth in the region of Galilee, being of sound mind, do hereby willfully and voluntarily declare that this is my last will and testament. Since I am not married and have no children, I appoint my executor, the Holy Spirit, to distribute my belongings as follows. Since the clothes off my back have now been taken, I have no physical belongings. But what I have, I leave my followers. I leave them my peace. My peace I leave to you. My peace I give to you. Jesus had no fortune to bequeath. He had no family pictures to divvy up. He had no knickknacks to leave to someone else to dust. But what Jesus has, he leaves to his followers. Peace. People try to buy peace. They go to the spa, get a massage, get some goop, try to buy peace. People go about it in another way. Get a TV the size of your bedroom wall, a perfect couch, a bunch of snacks, and wait for peace. Or get a bunch of bottles, crack them open, pray for peace to come. Meanwhile, Jesus gives peace away for free. The world says, look at the news and let your hearts be troubled. The world says, lock your doors and let your hearts be afraid. Yet Jesus says, I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Here, take my peace. It's free. It's a gift. It's your inheritance. Thomas A Kempis wrote, all men desire peace, but very few desire the things that lead to peace. All men desire peace, but very few desire the things that lead to peace. People say they want a peaceful life, but the decisions they make do not lead to peace. Generally, people would rather worry and fret about something than take it to the Lord in prayer and find peace. Generally, people would rather buy more stuff to demand further demands on their time and to let some things go and find peace. They'd rather get involved in somebody else's drama than purify their own hearts and find peace. So meanwhile, the inheritance of peace from the Lord sits unclaimed. Talked to a missionary in Houston the other day. I don't mean a missionary from Houston. I mean a missionary to Houston. A missionary called to take the Word of God to Houston, Texas. And he was talking about what he says to people. And the first thing he says is that this is a broken world. And he said a lot after that, but I got hung up on that first line, this is a broken world, because he never had anybody argue with him on that point. He never had anybody say, oh no, this world is perfect. Because the catch is in a fallen world, it's not just that there's some bad everywhere. The catch is even that which is good can no longer be entirely good. Even if you do something nice, you can't be assured of your motives for doing it. Even if you enjoy a beautiful sunset, you're still thinking about other things that need to be done. Sometimes the argument is that a baby is perfect. So certainly the church can't teach that even babies are sinful. But I've had a baby in my house for 10 years straight. And those people haven't. Babies are the most selfish creatures there are. Right? If you don't rock them the same way or feed them exactly in the moment they're hungry, they howl and cry. It takes many years to, well, still feel the same way, but cover it up anyway, right? It's a broken world. And it's so broken that God's guidance for a peaceful life goes unclaimed. Somebody from church told me this week that if Walmart had a sale where everything was 90% off, the parking would be so bad, people would be parking right here, right? Everything at Walmart was 90% off. And yet what the church offers is even better and free. And there's plenty of pews open here. There's plenty of pews open at Emmanuel, First Assembly of God. Every church in town has at least a third of their seats sitting open. Yet how many couples have argued and yelled and looked in the opposite direction? Well, peace from the Lord went unclaimed. How many young people felt that their lives had no purpose or point? Well, a peace from the Lord went unclaimed. How many of the dying lay in hospital beds, frantically trying to come up with a reason for their existence, some significance, some meaning? Meanwhile, peace of the Lord spent its whole life unclaimed. With the peace of Jesus, we do not escape this world's storms, but we retain the peace of Jesus during them. You remember the story where Jesus and his disciples are out on a boat, and it's storming like crazy, and it's so bad that even the fishermen who spent their whole lives out on boats, even they're terrified that this is going to be their last boat ride. And yet, what is Jesus doing? Sleeping. The peace of Jesus is the ability to rest, even amidst the storms of the world. Most of the time when I watch the news, I find myself praying the same prayer the church has been praying for 2,000 years straight. Father, forgive them, They don't know what they're doing. People yearn for peace, but don't pursue the life that leads to it. Now, I don't know how much food you have in your fridge, and I don't know how many clothes you have in your closet. I don't know how much money you have in the bank. I don't know how needy you are in those categories. If you aren't needy, thank the Lord. But I know everyone here could use more peace. So seek the things that lead to peace. Pray. Crack open your Bible. If you don't have one, please take one from the pew or the lobby. Worship weekly. Love generously. Share sacrificially. Claim your inheritance of peace. It's free. It's a gift. It cost you nothing. But the catch with an inheritance is this. It cost the receiver nothing. But it cost the giver everything. The cost of us receiving peace is nothing. The cost of Jesus giving us peace was the cross. It was his life. But peace comes to us free. It's a gift. It's our inheritance.